However, we're going to move forward. This is an hour of mind power, and you will be invited to call in later on in the hour. So I'd like for you to write down this telephone number, 877-876-5227. And you'll be able to call in whenever you like later on in the hour. I've got so many wonderful things to share with you, and I'd love to start off with a particular thought. Here we are. It's called the Over the Hump Day. It's the Wednesday of the week. This is Dennis Waitley. He's very well known as a motivational speaker. I liked these words, and I thought I'd share them with you this afternoon. When you visualize yourself in the present as if you were already accomplishing one of your goals, make certain your visual image is as you would see it out of your own eyes, not watching you do it through the eyes of a spectator. Now, let me read that again. When you visualize yourself in the present as if you were already accomplishing one of your goals, make certain your visual image is as you would see it out of your own eyes, not watching you do it through the eyes of a spectator. That's a perspective that I've not been aware of many people presenting when they talk about visualization. And it's something, whatever you're doing, whatever you're occupied with in the present moment, that's a very good perspective to have. See it as if you are looking at it through your own eyes. What are the results? What is it that you want to see happening? Are you going to be going in for exams? Maybe you're trying to qualify for some college level of entry. See yourself looking at papers where you're getting an excellent, excellent grade, and also where you are doing a fabulous interview with someone. If you're looking for a job, it can be any number of things, but deal with it in the present. Look as if and think as if it is happening right now. It is such a powerful thing to do. My goodness, so many people in sports have learned how to do their visualization. It's become mandatory in much of the fine athletic areas of expertise so that your performance is going to be where it's supposed to be. And I think it's so easy for us to go backwards and to think, oh my goodness, I'm getting nervous, I'm going to have this happen to me or that happen to me. Have that awareness, see how you are going to be able to perform, and live it in your mind. And there's so many wonderful, wonderful books that you can read that will give you information on this. It's a form of self-hypnosis, but what a wonderful way to reinforce the I am successful attitude, the I will be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish attitude, because you see yourself doing it. You see yourself actively participating in it. So I want to thank Dennis Waitley for that. That's a wonderful quote. I have so many fun things to share with you. Have you ever heard of square watermelons? Trust me, they exist. Did I know that? Not really. I wanted to share with you a story. And before I go into this story, I want to thank those of you that are sending me email stories, and even those of you that have got some special recipes you'd like to share, anything that you feel is significant that you think other people might be interested in, go ahead and email it to me at DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. And then I will review the material. I have been getting so many emails. I had an email from someone today that said, Donna, how come you haven't answered me? How come you haven't responded to me? Well, when you have a busy schedule, getting to 100-plus emails is not necessarily going to be a quick job. So it takes time to respond to people and to answer. So be patient with me and know that if the material is accepted, we will be using it on the air, and I probably will let you know. And this came from Thomas in Virginia, and I like this story. I can remember many years ago I heard another version of this, but I really enjoy it, and I think that you will too. It's all about choice. Choice. This is so important. We all have the capacity to choose. We all have the capacity for choice. Well, this is about a guy named John. And according to Thomas, he said, this is the kind of guy you just absolutely love to hate. He's always in a good mood. He always has something positive to say. When everybody asks him how's he doing, by golly, he says, oh, if I'm any better, I'd be twins. How does that feel when you're on a grumpy mood and somebody's that optimistic? Ugh. very irritating, isn't it? Well, John was one of these special guys. He was a natural motivator. He had his own business, and if there was an employee that was having a bad day, he was always there with the employee telling them how to look on the positive side of the situation, regardless what it might be about. Well, Tom said after he watched John in action, he'd think to himself, this guy, you know, it can't be real. Nobody goes around with this kind of good attitude all the time. However, it was too consistent. And so he said, I'm curious. One day, Tom went up to John and asked him, I don't get it. You cannot be a positive person all the time. How do you do it? John just smiled at him and said, I have a choice. Each morning I wake up and say to myself, you have two options today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. So he said, I choose to be in a good mood. Every time something bad happens, I can decide whether I want to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. So I decide I'm going to learn what I can from the experience. He said, lots of people come to me complaining. This is not unusual. I can accept their complaints or I can point out the positive side of life. So he said, this is why I am choosing to take the positive side. Well, of course, Tom, with his little bit of a pessimistic personality, he said, yeah, right. It's not that easy. John said, yes, it really is. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react. You choose how you're going to let people affect your mood. You can choose to be happy or you can be miserable and be in your pity pot. It's all up to you as to how you're going to respond to what goes on in your life. Well, Tom just walked away and just was shaking his head. I was like, oh boy, this guy is just too good to be true. Well, eventually Tom moved on to another job, went to another state. He decided he was going to go into a business of his own, and he lost touch with John. But he often thought about him when he was making choices about his own working environment and the interaction with people, and how not to just react to things, but to make conscious decisions about what he could do with what was going on. Well, many years after he had left John's company, he happened to hear through the business grapevine that John was involved in a very serious accident. He fell approximately 60 feet from a communications tower. He had to go through 18 hours of surgery and many, many weeks of intensive care and therapy, and he was released from the hospital with rods placed in his back permanently. Because of this, when I happened to be in the area of my previous boss's business, I stopped in, and I was there about 6 months after he'd had this horrible accident. When I asked him how he was doing, John replied, if I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars? He hadn't changed. Not at all. Well, Tom said, yeah, no, I don't think I'm too interested in seeing your wounds, but I did want to ask him what had gone through his mind when the accident took place. And John was very thoughtful when he responded. He said, the first thing that went through my mind was the well-being of my soon-to-be-born daughter. And then, as I lay on the ground, I remember I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. And I decided I wanted to live. Well, Tom asked him, weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness? Well, John's response was, the paramedics were great. He said, they kept telling me I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I did get really scared. In their eyes, I could see him saying, in their minds, to themselves, he's a dead man. And I knew I needed to take action. Tom asked him, what did he do? Well, John said, there was this big, burly nurse that was shouting questions at me. She was asking me if I was allergic to anything, and I immediately yelled out, yes. Everybody stopped. The doctors and nurses wouldn't continue working because they had to wait for my answer. So he said, I took a real deep breath and said, gravity. Well, everybody in the ER just busted up laughing. He said, I want you guys to choose to help me to live. I want you to operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead. Well, obviously, John did make it. He said, thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. And Tom said, I learned from John again that every day we have the choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. So Tom said in his email to me, I'd like to recommend that you don't worry about tomorrow. Somehow or another, tomorrow is going to worry about itself. There's a saying that every day has enough trouble of its own. You don't need to make up any to go along with what's already going on. So, after all, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday, so you have two choices now. He sent in his email to me, you can either delete this or share it with people you care about. You know the choice I made. And I want to say thank you to Tom because I made my choice. I wanted to share John's story with you. I have had the privilege in my many years of working as a counselor of meeting people from all walks of life and interacting with them. Every person has a story to tell, and sometimes it's a heartbreaking one. And often, when I listen to their stories, I'm moved to tears because I realize that they have gone through challenges I don't know that I could have handled as well as they did. Each of us have our challenges in life, and each of us have a way of being able to get through them. And I think of the many guests that I have on the air, sometimes their stories are just amazing. And you'll hear about miracles. You'll hear about all kinds of wondrous results. Sometimes out of tragedies, wonderful things are invented. People discover that they're really courageous, or that they have strength and stamina and imagination to surpass what they thought they could never do. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to be a part of. And that's one of the things I love about the show, because it enables me to share with you these wonderful stories, like about John. We all face challenges every day. There isn't a one of us that is not having to look life square in the eye. And nobody ever said life was fair. But I'll tell you what. Your attitude can make a lot of things different. And sometimes when you get into those grumpy bumps of life, if you can just remember, either take a nap, keep your mouth shut, or find something that's going to make you feel good. Norman Cousins went and watched funny movies when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He decided, I'm going to do something different. And he used humor. And there's a lot of options that you have in life. But it's what you do with your mind and then the following action after you make your choice that makes life a reality. Thinking is wonderful, but thinking without action is not going to get you very much in the way of results. And John walked the walk. He just didn't talk the talk. He walked the walk. So again, Thomas in Virginia, I want to thank you very much for having gotten that to me. I really appreciate that. Now, I said I was going to share with you something about square watermelons. Oh, yes. When I got this from a gentleman in Michigan, I thought this was just absolutely amazing. And he also sent me, his name is Lon, he also sent me some recipe information for watermelon sherbet. And, of course, here we are in the warm summer months, and this is absolutely something that would be absolutely delicious to have. But when he sent me the information on the square watermelon, I thought, I've got to share this with you. Who came up with this? The Japanese. Yes. The Japanese, to solve a problem of the big, bulky shapes of watermelons, they decided they had to come up with an idea where it could be more comfortably transported and easier to handle. Guess who did it? It was a farmer from Zensuji in Kagawa Prefecture. He came up with the idea of making a cube-shaped watermelon which could easily be packed and stored. So a farmer said, I got to come up with a better idea. Square watermelon. Well, how they did it was just very simple. They grew the melons in glass boxes, and the fruit then naturally assumed the same shape. Now today, and this is what they're called cuboid watermelons. They're hand-picked and shipped all over Japan. But the fruit on sale in a selection of department stores and upmarket supermarkets, because it primarily is the wealthy that can afford these square melons, It appeals, obviously, to them and the fashion conscious of Tokyo and Osaka, Japan's two major cities. Each melon sells for 10,000 yen, and that's equivalent to about $83 American, and that is substantially more than what we pay for our oblong-shaped watermelons, or however they decide to turn out. So if you see a square one, just know it may not taste any better. It just might be easier to handle. Amazing, amazing stuff. And yes, if you'd like, I'm happy to share that sherbet recipe with you. But before I do that, I want to share something else with you. By the way, this is Donna Sebo, if you're just tuning in. And my guest, Kay Faltz, I believe she's ended up getting stuck in traffic in Virginia. She was scheduled to be my guest today. And I'm sorry, we're just not able to reach her, so we will try to find out what happened to her so we can reschedule her for another time. Donna Sebo here, and later on in the show, at the bottom of the hour, you'll be able to call in at 877-876-5227. Those of you who are regular listeners to the show know that I love to get out recipes, and I really enjoy cooking. I do. I don't have a lot of time for it anymore, but I just really enjoy it. And one of my favorite people to watch on television is Alton Brown, and he's out of Atlanta, Georgia. This is a man that when his program is on, I just so enjoy the entertainment perspective of it and all of the scientific information about food. Do you ever wonder what motivates people to go into a particular line of work? Well, he has had a passion for food ever since he's been a kid, and it's not just because he likes to eat it. It is something that he just evolved into, and he said his parents, grew up in Southern California, but his parents were from the South, and he said their favorite foods were cornbread, grits, and greens because their Appalachian sharecropper roots were really significant, and he said, that's what I grew up with, and I just loved it. And of course, in Los Angeles, he said we would just feast on tacos, enchiladas, and guacamole. However, when I was 7 years old, Alton said, we moved back to Georgia, and his parents just loved to travel by car. And he said, my parents didn't go by the interstate. They'd take all of these unique routes. They'd love to see the country. And more than anything else, they stopped at all of these little restaurants that were in these different communities throughout the South. And he said, often those roadside places had hand-painted signs in the window, and there were homemade pies that were under their glass display cases. And he said there was often a chrome and tile luncheonette attached to a gas station with real mom and pop running it. And he said people just absolutely loved to serve their food. And he said it was just wonderful. And he said his first taste of blue cheese was in Oklahoma, along with his first bite of barbecue. And he said, man, it was just great. And he said, I can remember the first time I had a sandwich with avocado on it. And he said, we just traveled all over the country. My parents just took me everywhere. And he said, after we went back into Georgia, I decided that I was going to become a cinematographer. However, I loved food. And he said it was all of those wonderful cross-country journeys that my mom and dad took me on when I was growing up that brought that passion into my life with a significant aspect. He said most of my work for the cinematography was shooting music videos or TV commercials. However, he loved the cooking shows, and he said he couldn't get enough of them. And his wife, who eventually got married to Deanna, she would have to literally drag him away from the cooking shows. And finally, she said to him, just in a moment of wisdom and innate irritation, I'm sure, after dragging him away from another one, saying, you know what? You need to do one of your own. And he said, I thought about it. After all, I just love to cook. But he said, I was curious about every aspect of cooking, the science of cooking. He said, I wonder if I could put together my own show. So he wanted to be able to create the same kind of magic that had been created for him when he was growing up. And he said, I eventually left cinematography behind me and My wife and I moved to Vermont, where I attended the New England Culinary Institute. He said, I polished my cooking skills and made a demo of the show I would call Good Eats. And I'm sure many of you have watched the show. He said, I was ready to show America what it had shown me. Good food is an endless adventure. He said, I had a problem, though. Nobody wanted to look at my demo. He said, but why would they? I was nobody. I was just some guy with a crazy idea for a cooking show. And he said, at the Food Network, they wouldn't even look at a demo tape. He said, they've sort of changed their policies now. But he said, at that time, I didn't have any credentials for a live audition. And he said, so I went back into the cinematography bit. And he said, Kodak decided to pick up a one-minute segment to run on their website. They didn't care about the food. They just liked how he had done the cinematography and wanted to show off the particular Kodak film that Alton had used to do the work. He said, it seemed so funny that this was happening. But he said, I said, sure. And out of the blue, he got a call from a young executive from all places, the Food Network. He said, you've got a very interesting idea for a show, and I'd like to set up a meeting. And he was dumbfounded. He said, how did you even hear about me? Surfing the net, I happened to see your clip on the Kodak website, and this young executive happened to just see this one-minute clip, and Alton said, coincidence? I don't think so. He said, I believe these things happen for a reason, as part of the journey, you might say. He said, 7 years ago, we launched the program Good Eats, and I've had more success and more fun than I ever dreamed possible. He said, I get to cook up a storm on television. I get to talk about it, but you know what? I really was missing getting out on the road and interacting with people. And he said, the reason I was missing it, even though I was enjoying everything that I was doing, is that I had my wonderful memories. So he said, this year I decided to film my Food Network special, Feasting on Asphalt, which started as of July 29th of this year. And he took his motorcycle with him, which he just loves motorcycles, and decided to head for the byways in this wonderful country of ours. And he said, you know what, after so many years, I was really worried that I wasn't going to find these small, family-run roadside places of my memory. He said, I feared that the hospitality had gone the way of hand-shelled peas and homemade pastry dough, and maybe we were going to end up with nothing. However, he said, we landed in an itty-bitty town of Estill, North Carolina. And he said, you know what? I smelled something when I stopped at this place, and it was a wonderful fragrance of a curry dish. And he talked to the man who was at the desk where he was paying with his credit card, and he said, what is that wonderful, wonderful fragrant smell? And the man said, it's my wife's soup. Would you like to try some? Don't you just love it? Can't you just see him on his motorcycle, crew in tow, and stopping and saying, that smells pretty good. Yeah, I think I will have a bowl of soup. And he said it was absolutely wonderful. The cook was Mrs. Patel. She had snipped from her garden some one delicious grouping of herbs. And he said more than anything, they were just so gracious. He said, here in this tiny motel in Estill, he said, I had a meal I'll never forget and made friends I'll remember forever. He said, we found, no matter where we went in America, we found wonderful, wonderful people. They let me help out in the kitchen. He said, I got to dish out ice cream on the service line, too. He said, not only were we recipients of hospitality, but we were also able to get it. He said, you know what? Go off the main road once in a while. Be givers of hospitality and gracious takers of it, too. He said, because he's found that the serendipitous moments of life are what it's all about. And he said, when you believe that you have the opportunity to experience special things, you'll go very, very far into wondrous experiences with great people. And you know what? You're going to find good food all along the way. Boy, I can relate to his story. My husband and I happened to take a road trip to Yellowstone National Park, and there was this tiny town. I mean, if you sneezed, you were 5 miles past it after you went through. I mean, it just was amazingly small, and there was this square box of a restaurant called Pickles. And I can remember seeing this isolated building and this sign saying Pickles and going, well, it's the only place around. We're starving, so we might as well stop in and see what they've got to order. It was awesome. They had to have the best fried chicken I'd eaten in years. But more than that, not only did we have an absolutely awesome fried chicken dinner, and all of it was homemade, it was the next morning when we went in for breakfast. And I don't know what kind of a magic wand this woman waved over her pancake batter, but those pancakes were just to die for, and they were as big as a dinner plate when they were served. So I can't agree with Elton. You may end up having some places that are greasy spoons, but by golly, all you have to do when you go into a small town is ask the local people where is the best place to eat, and they'll tell you. And you may find just wonderful, wonderful food delights that will stay in your memory and affect your taste buds for the rest of your life. Positive ones, not negative ones. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm sorry our guest was not able to make it today, but we've got some wonderful things to share with you. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And hey, if you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Here's our toll-free telephone number to call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. This is Donna Sebo, and I do want to let you know that we are going to have tomorrow as a guest George Kohlreiser. Now, we're going to be calling George in Switzerland, and his book is called Hostage at the Table. George is a man that actually has dealt with hostage situations, but he's taking a whole different perspective from the training that he has had and sharing it through this wonderful book of his, and I know you will enjoy him. That's George Kohlreiser, and we'll be talking to him. And also on Friday, we're going to be talking to Mr. Laszlo, who is part of a peacekeeping and peace development group that includes the Dalai Lama. We're going to be speaking with him in Tuscany, Italy. His wonderful book is called The Chaos Point, and some perspective about the world and the things that we can do to make some changes. So we've got a lot of wonderful guests next week. We're going to be talking about nutrition. We're going to be talking about natural pest control. Oh, yes, and during the summer months, we all find out about those interesting little critters. Also, we're going to be talking about Marilyn Monroe returning. And then the Doodle Lady is going to be with us. And there's just so many other wonderful people that we've got lined up for your listening pleasure. So be sure that you tell your friends about bbsradio.com. Tell them they'll log in, and they'll be able to listen to this show live whenever they like, and also to the many archives that we have. Don't forget to tell them about the Donna Sebo Show, too. And we're going to be taking a break, and for just a moment here, when we come back, I have some pizza recipes for you that I think you will enjoy. And what's your favorite summer memory? Well, I've got some fun things to share with you about a dad who has a memory of his own. But if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, 877-876-5227. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power, and our telephone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a buzz so we can chat for a moment, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, by the way, I also want to let you know, in my upcoming newsletter, you're going to find out if you're listening in Alaska. I'm going to be coming up to Alaska. I'm also going to be going to New York, and I have a marvelous opportunity to interact with people in New York, and this is something I've been able to do at least once a year. Sometimes I've been able to do it twice a year, and this is for the National Publicity Summit. So I'm going to be telling you about those dates when I'm going to be there, and if you wanted to be in touch with me, either to meet with me privately or if you wanted to do a telephone consultation or find out where I'm going to be heard, then I will be delighted to share that with you. It will also be in my September newsletter. And then in October, I'm hoping to come into California. So I will be letting you know about that itinerary and schedule as well. So there's just so much going on, and I want you to be aware. You can always go to my website, and there is a calendar that shows when I'm going to be. As everything is firmed up with schedules and so on and so forth, you'll be able to find out where I'll be. And then you can always call my office and say, gee, Donna, I'd like to be in touch with you while you're in this area, et cetera, et cetera. And all you have to do is call me at my 800 number, 800-872-8852. That's my office number, 800-872-8852. The Olympics. Oh, we're all fascinated with it, aren't we? But there's so many little bits of trivia about the Olympics that make it so interesting. Today we accept as normal this magnificent blazing torch and the five-ring logo that's always on display with the Olympics. But you know, it did not come from the ancient Greeks. No, it first appeared in the 1936 Berlin Olympic Games, which were hosted by the Nazis, who loved pageantry. So that's where that has come from, and it's been carried forth ever since. Now, nowadays, an Olympic torch is 32 inches of wood, aluminum, and gold-plated brass, and it weighs about 3.5 pounds. Now, I had the privilege of seeing an Olympic torch, and I say it was a privilege because I was also privileged to meet with a gentleman who lived to be 100 years of age, an explorer in our American history. His name was Norman Vaughan, and he went with Admiral Byrd to the pole. This was a man I had on my show. I interviewed him at least 3 times. A phenomenal man, a phenomenal explorer. And when I met him for the first time, it was up in Anchorage, Alaska, and he had been carrying the Olympic torch, and that was about 6 years ago. And there's a small tank in the base that holds about 40 minutes worth of propane, and each of these torches cost about $300 to make, and about 10,000 are made for each Olympic, so that the runners in the intercontinental relay can keep the one they ran with. Can you imagine 10,000 of those made? Incredible. But Norman had his, and it was with him, and I feel so privileged again when I'm doing this show to have the good fortune of meeting with so many wonderful people who have been a part of history and who have made a difference. And when I had the chance to have Norman Vaughan on my show, this was a man that had such a spirit. It was incredible. And his goal was to be able to climb Mount Vaughan in the Arctic, that was named after him. And he's just an incredible, incredible man. So if you have a chance to look up the website on Norman Vaughan, that's V-A-U-G-H-N, you ought to do that. But anyway, just a little bit of reminiscing about the Olympic torch. I had asked you if you had a favorite summer memory. Well, I think dads can be so inventive at times. And there are just, you know, there's just so many fun things that you can do. And a little bit of imagination. When you've got some kids that are really, really restless and you try to come up with some things, the imagination of a dad can sometimes just create a very special magic. And there was a lady by the name of Nancy, and this was a very personal experience for her. And she wrote about it, and she said it was picking marshmallows. And I wanted to share it with you because we're right in the middle of summer. And this, I just think, is absolutely awesome. Nancy did a wonderful job with this. She said, we like to pick berries from roadside patches. And when you're out camping, it's just absolutely great. And she said, my husband Bob and I would send our kids off with their little metal buckets, and the next day we'd all enjoy raspberry pancakes or blackberry and peanut butter sandwiches. The kids just loved to get out there picking berries. Well, they were on this one camping trip, and they were just so looking forward to this because I had to come up with recipes and different things that we could do. And she said we'd find anything from blueberries in early summer to raspberries and blackberries in August, excepting one year when we went camping. And their little girl was 5 years old. Her name was Julie, and she complained, there's nothing to pick. We don't have any berries. Well, the reason there were not any berries is there had been very little rain. The season had been far too dry. And there were only a few blackberries left on bushes, and they were just as hard as marble. There just hadn't been enough moisture. Well, their four-year-old son, Brian, was pouting a little bit, saying, "I wish there'd been something there for me." Well, Nancy said, "Bob, what are we going to do?" Well, he took a bag of large marshmallows, and Nancy grabbed a bag of the miniature marshmallows that she had brought. They usually would make the s'mores, you know, over the campfire, so many of us enjoyed when we were camping. And so they decided they were going to make a memory. And her husband said, "Yes, let's do it." So the next morning when the kids were up, Nancy said, "Kids, I think you've got something to pick today." And the kids said, "We do? What are we going to go picking?" And Nancy said, "Marshmallows." And they're down by the lake, and it looks as if they're about ready to pick. It's a good thing we're here now, because they only come out one day a year. They have to remember the kids are 4 and 5. Well, the 5-year-old was pretty wise, and she sort of looked at her mom with a little bit of skepticism. "Marshmallows," she said, "you silly mom. They all come in bags from the store. We know that. We see you buy marshmallows all the time." I said, "Well, so do blackberries. Somebody just puts them in bags." Well, the kids were ready for a game, so off they went towards the lake, and they were carrying their little metal buckets, and they were just so excited. Well, it wasn't too long after that that their children came running back into their campsite area and said, "Mom, Dad, look, I got some. These are just baby marshmallows. Look at this." And then her 4-year-old son said, "Wow, I want to cook one. Light the fire. Dad, come on, quick. We got to get it." So they were just having the time of their lives with their kids. And Dad said to him, he said, "You know, they won't spoil. So just be patient. We'll get that fire going." And Julie was telling her little brother, "Well, mine are going to be better than yours because mine are little. They have better flavor." And then 4-year-old Brian, he didn't care. He was busy mashing 2 of the big ones on his fork. And so they were waiting for the culinary verdict from their 4 and 5-year-old children. And Brian just got so excited. He said, "Wow, these sure are better than the ones in the bags. These are so good." And Nancy said, "Oh, of course, these are fresh." "They're fresher." And the daughter looked puzzled. She said, "How come all those marshmallow bushes don't have the same kind of leaves?" "Oh, they're just different kinds, that's all." Oh, kids, they're so observant. Anyway, Julie and Brian licked their fingers, and they just absolutely were thrilled that on this particular day, all the marshmallows bloomed. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Like I said, isn't it great when people have good memories to share? And that's wonderful. And Nancy, thanks so much for sharing what you and your husband did. It was just delightful. Donna Siebel here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. 877-876-5227. Don't you go away now. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Siebel. And I just want to remind you that if you want some information regarding glyconutrients, if you want to know about my newsletters, if you want to know about the guests coming up, you've got a couple of wonderful options. First of all, you can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com, where you can find out all kinds of different things. But also, if you're interested in guests, we have a listing of upcoming guests that's in on the BBSRadio.com site. And all you have to do is log in, tell your friends about it, and go over to the right side of the screen, look up the Donna Siebel Show, and you'll see my happy face and all kinds of wonderful information there. And then you can listen to the archives if you want. There's so much wonderful information for you. And you can also find out about the guests, and the list of the guests is adjusted sometimes. So if you find that certain things are there and maybe you've missed it, just be aware that you will have the opportunity to listen to that programming at a later date. And if you want to contact me at my office, there's an 800 number, 872-8852. Now, again, we've got some great guests coming up, and tomorrow we're going to be talking with George Polarizer in Switzerland. We're going to be talking about his awesome book, Hostage at the Table. And so he's going to be our guest. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Mr. E. Laszlo about the Chaos Point. This man is very dedicated to peace and has formed a wonderful organization with other individuals from around the world, prominent people including the Dalai Lama, who are working very diligently towards trying to achieve a global understanding so that our world can be a much better place. So we have some wonderful, wonderful people coming up, and I invite you to come along. Okay, I said I had something for you regarding pizzas. Do you have that pad of paper and pen handy? If you are a pizza lover, my goodness, that's my husband's, one of my husband's favorite foods, pizza. I forget how many pizzas are eaten in this country, but it is absolutely incredible. And I can remember being up in Anchorage, Alaska. No, actually, Fairbanks, Alaska, in that it's so far away from everything, and I forget how many pizza parlors they had in that small town, and they were all doing beautifully. And I thought there couldn't be enough people in this town eating pizza. But they do. People would come in from outside of town just to get the pizza. It's just amazing. Well, sometimes it's great to be able to make them at home. And what you want to do is just be aware these are some wonderful, wonderful recipes, so easy. And what makes it easy is that you can get your prepackaged, pre-baked 12-inch pizza crust if you want at the store. And there's a number of different brands that are out there, so you don't even have to make it. But they even have crust that you can buy that's already made, so it's up to you. So how about a nacho pizza? How does this sound to you? Well, what you want to do is use a half a cup of store-bought bean dip. You want 3/4 of a cup of mild salsa. Forget the mild stuff. I like it spicy. But you get whatever you want, obviously. And then you need a cup of shredded cheddar cheese. And I think the extra sharp is really cool, but it depends on your taste buds. Not everybody likes things really sharp and spicy like I do. You need an avocado. Pit it, peel it, cut it into 1/4-inch slices. And then how about three tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro and a little bit of sour cream. And, you know, just this is what we're going to do. Now, you can fix this on a grill for indirect heat cooking. And what you do is spread your bean dip over the crust to within 3/4 of the edge, put on your salsa, sprinkle with the cheese, place it on your grill, cover, and grill it until the cheese is melted and the crust is crispy. That's all it's going to take is 6 to 8 minutes. That's all. And then once you remove it, then put your avocado on, your cilantro, and put the sour cream on the side. If people want that, they can add that too. And you will have a nacho pizza. Well, how about having a wonderful prosciutto, arugula, and ricotta? Yep, now this is it. It's so easy. Again, you have pre-baked personal-sized piece of crusts if you want. And you can have 1/4 cup of olive oil. Have 2 cloves of garlic. You want to mince it up fresh. You need 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh thyme, 1/4 teaspoon of cracked pepper, and you need 1 cup of packed arugula leaves, which is about 2 ounces, and you chop those up. You need 8 ounces of fresh mozzarella cheese, thinly slice it, 1/2 cup of part-skim ricotta cheese, that's about 4 ounces, and 3 ounces of prosciutto cut into strips. All you do, again, you can put this out on the grill. You combine your oil, your garlic, your thyme and pepper, brush over the crust, and evenly top each one of those crusts with the arugula, the mozzarella, the dollops of ricotta and prosciutto. Place it on your grill cover and grill until the cheese is melted and the crusts are crispy. Again, you've only got 6 to 8 minutes with this, and it's all ready to go. And if you want, why not fix a nice salad to go with it? And then you've got a full meal. Kids will be happy. The wonderful thing about the prepared pizza crust is you can even make your own. I've been at dinners where it was a pizza dinner, and you were given the pizza crusts, and you were said, okay, you fix your own. And so sometimes people would say, well, I'd like half of mine this way and half the other. And you'd fix half and half. So if you have your cheeses, your sauces, whatever you like, you can just have an absolute blast, have fun, and your cleanup is next to nothing. It's absolutely wonderful. Throw in a tossed green salad, and you've got it made. Maybe find a couple of square watermelons to go with it, and it's really easy. But I don't know that we have many markets to carry the square watermelons that I was telling you about earlier in the show. But good food, good conversation, company with friends, you just can't beat it. Sometimes you just want it real easy. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we will be traveling by telephone to Switzerland. Tuscany's on Friday. But we are going to be having a wonderful time. We invite you to join us. Don't forget to tell your friends about bbsradio.com. A lot of good things here. And, of course, you don't want to miss the Donna Sebo Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. The choice is yours. Seize the day. It's yours. For the entire day. Make it what you want it to be. After all, opportunity is just waiting to shake your hand. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Have a magnificent day. Bye for now.